Troy Hamilton, student number 716, says he wants to walk the one of these.
Walking alone at even, viewing the skies afar, being the darkness known to every silver star, I have a great delight in the wonderful scenes above. God in His power and might is showing His truth and love.
Bow with me, please. Our dear, most wonderful, glorious Heavenly Father, we come before you at this time with thanksgiving for allowing us to come together to enjoy the comfort of one another, to learn more from your word. We thank you for the fellowship that we have with one another, for the relationship that we have through your Son, the one that we have with you and with each other. Lord, we thank you so much for being our Father, for caring for us, loving us, so much that you sent your only Son on the cross to die for our sins. Lord, help us to keep our lives in perspective with that always, and to understand what we need to do in serving you and knowing that all things come from you. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we are out in the world. Help us to sin not and to keep your word in our hearts at all times. To worship you in everything we do in spirit and in truth. Lord, help us to gather those who might be receptive to your word, that more might come to an understanding and to a relationship with you through your Son Jesus. We ask that you be with the seeds that we plant, that they might grow and flourish as you nurture them. We ask that you give us opportunity to teach and allow us to grant us strength and understanding in helping those along who would develop their faith. Lord, we ask that you be with Brother Randy as he brings a message to us this evening, that we might be able to glean everything we can from it, as we've done with our Bible study here earlier. And Lord, we ask for that you be with those who are unable to be with us, and grant them safe travel or better health if they're away for sickness. And Lord, please be with us that we might be able to aid our brethren in every way that we can, and doing so with a loving heart as you've taught us and as Jesus taught us. And Lord, we offer this prayer in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
In keeping with what we've been studying the last few lessons, I talked about Paul on Sunday morning. We've been talking about Paul tonight, and we're going to talk about Paul again. I want to look at a few verses from 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Terrell and I sometimes kid about who has more friends, more Facebook friends. I have more. But she says, I'll let anybody be my friend, that I'm not real picky about who I accept, and that's probably true. But when you look, you know, at the friends list, sometimes you really don't know everybody. In fact, when we travel, sometimes we run into people and they say, oh, yeah, I see your post on Facebook, and I have no idea who they are, but somehow they are connected with somebody that's connected with me, and so we end up being friends. And you know, but we really know who our real friends are, and all friends are not the same. You know, there's some that you have you share an interest, or you know, there's some kind of, you know, acquaintance that you have, but others are your real friends, that your closest friends that you would confide in, that you would talk to, that you would call upon if you were in trouble or needed some advice, or someone that you know would do anything for you. And it's interesting when you look at the epistles of Paul that he points out sometimes the people that are his friends, that when he mentions somebody by name, sometimes it's not always good. He may be calling somebody out, but most of the time it's somebody that has been a big encouragement to him. And so you can, when you're looking at these epistles, you can see that Paul had some friends that were closer than others. And, you know, sometime in the past, somebody referred to 2 Timothy as Paul's famous last words. And I've always kind of hung on to that really these are Paul's famous last words. These were written from prison. He's expecting to die. And you can tell from the way that is written that these are his last days. He's in chains in a Roman prison for the second time, and he's awaiting execution. But you know, he certainly does remain strong, but you can see some emotion in the things that he writes. He said in 2 Timothy 4 verse 13, where he urges Timothy to bring him his cloak and do his best to come before winter. That's always been interesting to me, that he's in some kind of physical distress there. He's cold, and he wants his cloak, and he wants it before it gets really cold. And in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11, he talks about, only Luke is with me. And so what do you read into that? Well, he's lonely. You know, he's cold, and he's lonely. And maybe there's times where he is a little disappointed, because he talks about in 2 Timothy 1 verse 15, you know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. And he talks about his faithful traveling companion Demas. And 2 Timothy 4 verse 10 says he also deserted me. So you know, you can see that there's some things here that, you know, Paul is not his Philippian self, that he's not as cheerful maybe because of the situation that he's in, because you're seeing these things. But he also, you know, states unequivocally throughout these texts that he knows that the Lord has not deserted him. And so how is that? Well, there's there's something here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 18 that I'd like for us to look at as some encouragement that Paul had. 2 Timothy 1, 15 through 18. "You are aware that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he arrived in Rome, he searched for me earnestly and found me. May the Lord grant him to find mercy from the Lord on that day. And you well know all the service he rendered at Ephesus." So here's, you know, a few verses about Onesiphorus. You don't hear a lot of sermons on Onesiphorus because you have to pronounce that over and over. But Onesiphorus is somebody that was helpful to Paul. The name Onesiphorus means profit bringer. And you can certainly see here that he was profitable to Paul's work. And you can conclude that from this that he was somebody that was very active in the ministry of the gospel and certainly was an encouragement to Paul. But look at some of the words that Paul uses to describe him. He uses the word refreshment, and we talked about that a little bit in class tonight. And the word refreshed, when we think about it, we think about a Coca-Cola ad usually. But the word refreshed literally means to cool off, to brace up, or to be revived by fresh air. And so I think we can all relate to that. The image of opening your window in your car on a nice spring day and getting to breathe that in, or taking the bite of the York peppermint patty. That's refreshing. The breeze is refreshing. There are things that give us strength and energy. And so sometimes, food is often called refreshments. And however it was done here, Onesiphorus provided something to Paul that he said was refreshing to him. And whatever that was, if that was just encouragement, kind words, or perhaps he even gave things to Paul to help him. As we see here, this is could be a time of discouragement and loneliness, and his spirit is refreshed. And I think we can all think about when that's happened to us, when we have been refreshed by someone, or we needed that, or maybe we provided that to someone else. What we also see here that Paul describes is, it says, when he arrived from him, he searched for me earnestly and found me. And so there's a consistent concern there that he has for Paul. And so he has a concern for him, and his visit to Paul, certainly no accident. And in 2 Timothy 1:16, he says, he often refreshed me. It's not just a one-time thing. And so how refreshing it is to see that Paul received this good encouragement at a time when Paul really needed it. He's in chains, he's in prison, and he is being complimentary of the encouragement that he is receiving here. It reminds me of Proverbs 17:17, where it says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." That simply means that there are those that are going to help you out even when times are not good. And so here is a rough time for Paul, and he is pointing out the great encouragement and refreshing that he is receiving from Onesiphorus. He also mentioned, he's not ashamed of my chains. And so apparently many were more concerned about themselves or their reputation than they were attending to Paul's needs. Onesiphorus was not concerned about being associated with Paul. "Oh, you're friends with that guy in prison. You ought not go around him. You might end up in the same place that he is." And so, and certainly that would be a real concern. If you're siding with him, if you're aligned with him, maybe you need to be there with him. And so not afraid of that. back when we were studying about David, and we looked at David's relationship with Saul's son Jonathan, we remembered that Saul's son took great risk to encourage David. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 30, it says, "Then Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan. He said to him, 'You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? As long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established nor your kingdom. Now therefore send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die.'" And so sometimes to take the side of the servant of God is risky. And here, Onesiphorus, Paul is saying, he's accepting the risk. He's not ashamed of me. He's not ashamed of my chains. And he is persistent in the relationship. Again, 2 Timothy 1, verse 17, "When he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me." And you know, that just points to the fact that sometimes we will do things if we have time. We will do things if they are not too inconvenient. And if I have some free time, I might try to make some contact. You know, this week, for some reason, I have thought about those that have passed on quite a bit. Because Matthew Bassford, you probably heard that he passed away today. And he was a preacher that pretty well known. I came across some CDs that I popped into my car when I was traveling this week. And one of them was Phil Robertson. And all it said on the CD was "A Visit with Frank." I didn't know what I was about to listen to. I'd never heard it before. And it was about when Phil was preaching a meeting in Tennessee, and my parents were living in North Alabama, that he knew my dad's condition. And my dad passed away in May. I think this was maybe in February when Phil made a special trip to see my dad. And he made a sermon around that, "A Visit with Frank." And he started pointing out things that my dad had done to encourage him, and how, I don't know if I can talk about it or not, but after he got out into the driveway, he just cried in his car after visiting with my dad. But how refreshing the whole visit was and how much it meant to both of them. And I read this, and I can't help but think about that. That here is Paul in a really bad situation, and he has Onesiphorus that's helping him, that's encouraging him. And how easy that is for us to do for each other, especially when you know somebody's nearing the end of their life. And I just, loved listening to that, even though it made me cry, and hearing Phil cry about it too, that they had a long relationship, Phil and my dad did, and, Phil preached with my dad when he got out of college and was in a preacher training program. And so the things that were said in that were very, very touching to me. And also, one of the things that was special is that he said everything my dad was focused on, even at the end of his life, was about spreading the gospel. And how he could help plan for the future of my mom and things like that. The things that loose ends at the end of life that they talked about. But it was all about, what they could do in the kingdom. And so I see that in Paul too. That at the end of his life, we see some personal things here. I bring my cloak, and some have deserted me, but I've still got friends that are taking care of me. His real focus is on training Timothy to take the sword, take the gauntlet, and go forward and preach and spread the word. And so that's the way that it should be. So what we see here is that Onesiphorus searched for Paul. He looked for him. This was important. It wasn't too difficult. It wasn't something that he said, well, you know, that's not be God's will for me to do this. The door seems to be closed. No, he looked for him and met those needs. So, you know, one of the elements of refreshment, what do we say when we find something that really refreshes us? That really hit the spot. And I feel like that's what Onesiphorus does for Paul here. And what Paul says, you know, he provided exactly what I needed. He gave me what I needed when I needed it. And so to be that kind of true friend, to be that kind of encouragement, you have to be aware of the circumstances of others. You have to. And Paul had some circumstances. And Onesiphorus was looking out for that. So whatever you can do for someone else to be that kind of person that Paul would call out with a compliment and say, he really helped me, she really helped me, that is a good thing. Proverbs 27, verse 17, often quoted, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Proverbs 18, 24, a man with many friends may be harmed, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. So as we go through reading about the life of Paul, it's such an encouragement to see his love for others and the desire that we read about tonight, that he wanted to go and be an encouragement to those in Rome, but his total focus in his life was on spreading the gospel and being faithful to God's work that had been assigned to him to do. So there's lessons in that for us. Let's be an encourager. Let's be faithful. And when we are discouraged, hopefully we will have those kind of friends like Onesiphorus that will help lift us up and be an encouragement to us. If we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come while we stand together.
Our Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer at this time, at the close of our worship service, especially grateful that you are our King our Father, and nothing can compare to you, and helpful that our worship is pleasing to you. Thank you for all that you give us, our jobs and homes, the physical things that help us enjoy life here, also the spiritual blessings of your grace, mercy, and love, for salvation through Jesus. Help us as we strive to be more like you. Please be with those who are in need of our prayers at this time due to illness. Help them get better as quickly as possible, if that is your will. Please continue to be with all of us and protect us. Be with us as we leave and keep us safe and healthy. Please let us meet here at the next appointed time, if it be your will. We know it's by your will that we live or do anything. Thank you for your love and mercy for us. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.